Listen, when we begin to get this stuff, it changes the way we walk. But also, I just want to continue on, and I don't know what's going on this weekend. Last night I got up and I was going to preach, "Who will ascend the hill of the Lord?" And this morning I got up and I thought, "I'm going to preach it." And during the worship, God's like, no, we're not done yet. Just carry on doing what I'm doing. So I don't want to give anyone false hopes. We might actually get to that message this afternoon. It's a good one. I guarantee it is a good one. But I don't know about you. I want God to keep doing what he started last night. Amen. So, okay, last night we concluded that we are no longer who we used to be. We concluded that in Christ we've passed through, because this is how we get an empowered life. It's the understanding of this stuff. Because if we don't base our empowerment on the things of God, they don't last long. If we base our empowerment on feelings, they don't last long. If we base our empowerment on the new speaker, the new video, they really don't last long. And we find ourselves like a boat astray in the ocean, always drifting back to what we knew. God doesn't want you drifting back. He wants you surging forward. Now, for us to surge forward, we need to conclude like we did last night. My old man is dead. I hope this morning many of you that were here last night woke up and said, wait a moment, what did Andy say? Well, Andy only said what Paul said, that I must know that my old man is crucified with Christ. And now I reckon myself dead. I've added it up for myself. I'm not who I used to be. And now, this morning, I'm presenting the new life that Christ has raised from the grave to him for his purposes. My voice is yours. My life is yours. So we kind of ended there last night. But the good news is that God didn't finish with killing us and rising us from the dead. Because all of those things were only necessities to do what he actually wanted to do, which was to come and live inside of us. If we want to know empowerment, we've got to not turn to the things of this world, but consider again the purpose of our death. You see, the gospel is powerful. We should be wondering or in awe of it all of our days. Because in the gospel, we read a message of how God took a person, you and me, from being unholy, separated, unrighteous, with no right to be in his presence, to being a person that's holy, righteous, accepted in his presence. Our names are in the Lamb's Book of Life. And all of that happened the moment you believed. Like I said last night, the beautiful thing about the kingdom of God is he gives you everything when you believe and you spend the rest of your life working out what he's given you. You don't get your salvation in little bits. You get it all at once. And then as you're led by the Spirit, you daily discover, wow, he gave me this as well. He did this. You don't come to a collection depot and say, can I have the next installment? You begin to discover as the Holy Spirit waters revelation in your heart all that you received the moment you believed. That's why we've got to always be in a pursuit of God, amen, as those who are righteous. I love the way that I read it put once, and the man, he said that actually everything that God did in the death, burial, and resurrection was only the sterilization of the jar. It wasn't the main event. But you see, many churches have made the death, burial, and resurrection the totality of the intention of God. And it really wasn't. It was preparation. It was preparation. Because you see, here was God's problem. A holy God couldn't live in an unholy people. And God never wanted to live in buildings, even though they're built magnificently and iconically. God's plan was never to live in buildings. It was to go back to living in people and to have the communion with man that he first had with the first man, Adam. That was God's agenda. But you see, God's problem was he's holy and he couldn't live in unholy. So he had to deal with the problem of unholy so that he could come and reside where he always wanted to reside, which was in you and me. So death, burial, and resurrection is similar to the sterilization of a jar in the process of jamming or making preserves. Now, my mum used to make jam. You call it jelly. Don't know why you would do that. We call it jam, and we put it on our toast. That's right, Roy. You know, jam goes on toast, right? It's not jelly. Jelly is what you put in the fridge. No, it's not. Now, my mum used to make jam, and in the process of making jam, she would put the jars in the oven. And I did what most kids did when mum told me, don't touch the jars are hot. You know what I did as a kid. It's something in the nature of us, isn't it? And I can remember mum used to say, don't touch the jars because the jars are hot. Because they'd been in the oven going through the process of sterilization. Never once did I see my mum dance around the kitchen going, woo, the jars are sterilized. Because it was a part of a process that took you to the place that was actually the end of the journey. Oh no, my mum was happy when the jam was placed in the sterilized jar and sealed. That was a completed work. Come on, we've got to begin to get this. I know, oh, I'm a Pentecostal, I've heard this all before. Yeah, but did you listen? I think one of the problems of the modern church is it's desperately trying to churn out things that have never been heard. And they don't realize that most people haven't heard what was preached anyway. So if we could actually preach things till people believe them, we're going to go a long way. Instead of coming up with new messages that, you know, I mean, come on, there's no future to that. What a revelation when we understand in Christ our lives were sterilized to the purity and condition that God was happy to come and live in us. How saved are you, really? Come on, how righteous did he make you in his death that God is happy to call you home? This is the stuff that will change our life. You want empowerment? This is where you find empowerment. It's in what God's done. So, okay, we come through death, burial, and resurrection, and we're like sterilized jars. We're regenerated. We're born again by the Spirit. And then, like the Lord modeled, we come and we welcome the Holy Spirit to come and live inside of us. And he fills the jar of our life. That moment, you're no longer the same unless you keep thinking nothing's happened. But if you begin to agree with what the Bible teaches, you're actually now filled with the Spirit to be led by the Spirit. And as you're led by the Spirit, your life is empowered to be everything you couldn't be, because the Holy Spirit is the ability of God. He's many things, but he's the ability of God. Because otherwise, a holy God would be placing expectations on us that we were unable to complete. And God is too good to do that. He places, isn't this awesome? But he saves us completely. We did nothing but believe, enter into it by faith. He saves us, sterilizes us, so that we're pure enough to contain his Spirit, not another spirit, his Spirit. And then we welcome his Holy Spirit into that which he sterilized. But now we've got a problem. Are we going to continue to be led by the soul? Or are we going to allow the Spirit to now lead us? And this is where a lot of Christians never move past this point. Because they carry on business as usual. Listen, you've got to understand that you are body, soul, and spirit. I know you're taught this stuff. I know you're pastors. But when we understand this, we actually realize there's a new management in our life. And we have to then yield to the new manager or life that's in us. Being a Christian and bearing fruit isn't hard. It was never designed to be hard. The only hard thing about it will you let go of control of your life and begin to follow the voice of the Holy Spirit that's not outside of you, but inside of you. Come on, I know, and nobody taught me this stuff when I got born again. I know the moment I got born again, everything changed inside of me. I was a thief. I was a fruit and veg seller. I'd gone crazy. I had to lock my own stuff away because I couldn't trust myself. I was that bad. Seriously, I stole. You know, have you got Gideons here? The Gideons, they give out free Bibles. I stole a box of Gideon Bibles at school. just because they were there and no one was watching them. I'm serious. I stole a box of Gideon New Testaments in school, got them back to my locker, and tried to sell them, and nobody wanted them. Is this true? And I ended up taking them back. Well, that's no good. There's no money in that. But I know the day I got born again, no one told me. I was confused. I remember I went to steal a chocolate bar, and it was like a panic alarm went off inside of me. And I was like, whoa, where did that come from? Day before, I was stealing everything that wasn't tied down. But this day, I touched something that wasn't mine. And no one outside of me, but someone inside of me, said, you don't want to do that. And I almost jumped. I was in a relationship. I was going to be marrying a young lady in 3 months, and we didn't even like each other. It was just built on physical relationship. It really was. It would have been a train crash. And suddenly I went home from that night when I got born again in the Spirit, where the Spirit of God came to live in my heart. And I couldn't go into the bedroom with her. I was like a little coward. And I know we're adults here, so you know what I'm talking about. I was living days before, no problem at all. Hey, no conscience at all. I completely killed that. But all of a sudden, I was pathetic. I can't sleep with you anymore. And she hadn't got born again, so she's looking at me like, you queer? She's like, have you stepped over? I mean, and I'm like, no, I'm really not. And I tried, but it just wasn't working. Because everything inside of me had changed. And I realized now that there was a new boy in town. There was a new voice within me that was now saying, hey, come this way. And it took me years to begin to follow him, tell you the truth. Because I kept living like I used to live because I still thought that my soul was in charge of my life. And the fact is it wasn't, because now God had come to live in me. Bearing fruit for God, it's not difficult. It's just a matter of yielding. God didn't make it. You know, we could preach today on John 15, that when you were born again, you were broken off from an old root. The nature of that root was the nature of your life. You sinned, like we were saying last night. But when you were born again, it was like Jesus walked across the garden, hallelujah, and broke you off from that vine and grafted you back into himself. Now, if that's true, his life is now your life, unless you don't let it flow. Right? Now, I'm going to put this Bible down because it's hurting my finger. I don't even want to. Got a place. I don't know where we're going, Josh. We're heading somewhere. Heading somewhere. Come on, you meet Christians and they're like, oh, it's so hard. I'm just struggling being kind. What? I just can't. Like you've heard me preach before, they're like constipated apple trees. I'm a Christian. I'm going to bear fruit that glorifies the Father. Ooh. Ooh. Oh, here comes patience. Ooh. That's weird. Now, you grow some apples around this place. You grow everything on the trees and the vegetation and greenery around here. Imagine if you were laying in an orchard and suddenly the apple tree, around the time where it bears fruit, started going, mmm. And all of a sudden, at the end of a branch, and the tree's leaning on another tree going, woo-wee! Woo! That'll bring a tear to a glass eye. You'd say, something's not right here. Something's not right. But that's what we look like to God. Because all we're meant to do is realize to whom we're now connected and just say, Lord, let your nature be my nature. And let your nature daily come through me and produce the fruit that gives you glory. Come on, John 15 says that as we abide in the vine, as we remain in him and his word remains in us, as we remain in him, his life remains in us and we bear fruit that brings him glory and fruit that remains. Because I know whatever fruit my soul produces doesn't actually last long. Come on, have you ever tried to be nice? I mean, you're somewhere and you're like, oh, I better be nice. Let me try. Right? It doesn't last long, right? Ah, but when it's your nature. See, we've got to understand, God came to live in us and he brought his character as well as his charisma. He brought the charismata, but he brought his character. So when we as good Pentecostals say, oh, I'm spirit-filled, the spirit, give me someone to pray for. Give me something to manifest the power of God. Yeah, no, let's do that, but let's also, are the attributes of the character of Christ developing and increasing in your life? Because the life now in you is the life of Christ, which means you shouldn't be running to defilement and impurity. The due north of your life should be going away from the things that God doesn't love and to God, because of nature, not conditioning. See, behavior modification is a part of a modern church message and it won't change people for long. Oh, but when you yield to the Holy Spirit, yes, you've got the power, the charisma of God, but we can lay hands on the sick and see him healed. But actually, what I'm appreciating more in my latter years is the character of Christ manifesting in my life. You say, well, I thought this conference was about empower. This is what I'm talking about. You know, recently, it was funny. Recently, I said to the Lord, it was just last week, I said to the Lord, Lord, what fruit are you working on in my life? Now, you've got to understand, again, like Tozer teaches, God's not ever working on one singular thing. All of the attributes of who he is constantly. So God isn't a God that loves. He is love. He isn't, oh, God's being kind. No, he's always kind. He has no moment of expression for who he is. And in the same way, I said, Lord, I know you're always working on a bunch of stuff in my life. What are you working on now? And I really felt the Holy Spirit say to me, kindness. I said, what? He said, I'm kind. I'm kind in my word, in everything. And I said, yeah, go ahead, Lord. Lord, if there's anything in me that's not kind, then allow the life of your kindness and your nature to begin to develop. I mean, I'm a nice guy. I'm kind. But if the Lord's touching that, he means he wants to take me to another level of that. Again, what do? We yield. And so if we're going to be empowered, and this conference is going to last longer than a moment, we have to consider our beginning that came from our death, but also we need to consider our infilling, that it's not vapor-like, it's the person of God now living in us. It's the ability of God. And it was this that Paul understood that enabled him to make certain statements like, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When we begin to realize the one who now calls us home, suddenly the things we thought we couldn't do aren't things we can't do anymore. Because if the Holy Spirit is in us, he's the ability of God. Amen. I hear Christians say, well, I just can't forgive that person. Well, you have no understanding of God living in you. Because if you understand the nature to which you are now joined, you can forgive anyone, anything. It's not nice, but you can. Because of his life. Okay, let's go somewhere with his message. You all right? Okay. So we realize that the Holy Spirit now lives in us. And again, our friend Kevin puts it so wonderfully. It says, people don't have problems with God the Father or God the Son. But when you start to talk about the Holy Spirit, it's like you've started speaking about the weird uncle. We've all got one, right? We've all got a weird uncle, but at the party, you're like, oh no, Roger's here. You know, it's true, but we've all got the weird uncle, but you're like, oh no, he's come. Because you just don't. But so often in the modern church, when you speak of the Holy Spirit, it's like, he's the weird uncle. He's God. Yeah. He's God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. One aspect of the Holy Spirit is he's the ability of God that's come to live in you so that you can live differently. If you live differently without the indwelling of the Spirit, you are just modifying your behavior and you're as strong as your ability to maintain your life. That's how strong you are. I ain't convinced in my own strength. But when you begin to say, hallelujah, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world, and you begin to realize you're just a tree connected to a vine, his life is your life. Any fruit that's going to remain in you is going to be the produce of you yielding to his nature now in you. Okay, being a pastor, this is where I see it kind of rubber hits road for certain people. They get born again. You pray for them to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But then they have a choice, like we all have a choice. Am I going to continue to do what my soul wants me to do? Or am I now going to follow the voice of the Holy Spirit who's living now in me? Remember, we're not schizophrenic in the aspect of old creation and new, but we have to recognize the presence now of two influences and voices because the Holy Spirit now lives in us. He's the one that God's given to take us into the life he promised. So the message of the gospel doesn't just leave us with a new car. It gives us a new driver. But if you don't get out of the driving seat, you're really not going to go anywhere new or anywhere you haven't been before. But when you begin to get out of the driving seat and say, I'm itching and my feet are twitching and my hand wants to grab the gear stick, but no, God, I don't want to go in those directions anymore. I want to live in the good of the cross. I want to live from the good of the cross. I want my life to take on the new nature. I want to see what you saw I could be. But that's a daily choice. Again, the church is good about making things about meetings where actually God wanted everything to be about our lifestyle. So all across American England, we got places that open on Sunday and people act holy for 2 hours. And then they go back to business as usual until next week. And they have their dose or their inoculation, their injection, and it doesn't last long. They're still treating their wives like they shouldn't, and they're still doing things they shouldn't because they don't realize it's a new day, and every day is our new day. What does this look like? Okay, imagine with me an office. Okay, so for me, I'm 52 years old now. I know, please. I know I am. 52 years I've been managing this office. Now, this is just basic stuff, but we've got to get this stuff in our hearts. I've been in charge. Say today was the day I got born again and received the Holy Spirit. 52 years I've been in charge of this company. 52 years I determined the future and the direction of this corporation. Then all of a sudden, the new owner, because there's been a very vicious takeover. It wasn't nice. It was a very violent takeover. Suddenly, the new owner of the company comes walking into the office and comes right up to me where I'm sitting in my position of ownership and leadership that I've always been for 52 years. But he's got someone with him, a new boy. The guy seems to look like he knows what he's doing, but I don't know him. I've never spent time with him. And suddenly the owner of the company now says, you were bought with a price, so don't give me any nerve or cheek. This is how it's going to go. You're no longer in charge. He is. It's all right, you're not fired, because if the Lord fired you, you wouldn't be very funny without your soul. He enables you to stay in the company. But you're not in charge anymore. And so he demotes you from the place of total authority and places this new man in position and basically says, this is how it's going to work from now. Whatever he wants, you do. Wherever he wants to take the company, that's where it's going. Don't tell me for a moment someone that's been running a company for 52 years is going to go, yeah, that's fine. That's absolutely all right. No, he's going to say, well, wait a moment. You know, I've been I've been leading this company. And the owner would say, and look where you took it. You needed a takeover because of the way that you led this company. So if I leave you in charge, there isn't going to be much business. And I'm a sharper businessman than that. So I need you to get out of the office chair and listen to him. The point that a person does that is the point of their growth in God. But we all must do it if we want to live. Otherwise, I get so annoyed with Christians who are like, God didn't give me the life he promised. You're an idiot. Stop it. Did you do everything he told you to do? And don't go blaming him. It's your own stubbornness, your dipstick. Good. See how I went American there, Derek? I'm going to teach you these things. Yeah, just teaching him that stuff. Come on. Christianity's so boring. No, you're boring. Ask your wife. Ask your friends. They'll tell you. You're boring. How, Paul and Silas in prison getting beaten. This is boring. I don't think so. It's only boring if you've made God your total comprehension of who you think he is based on things you've experienced in the length of your life, and you're not able to get out of a box and say, God, reveal yourself. Blow my mind again. He's not boring. Unless you've made him a statue that you worship every Sunday. He's not boring. Okay. Right, we're getting somewhere, right? So the new man is in charge of a company. The success of our life being empowered to live in a new direction isn't with God, it's with us. And it's us responding now to new leadership within, which is his Holy Spirit, which is his ability. Because the Holy Spirit very rarely will make you do anything. But he's constantly leading. For many of us, he led strong and then we stopped listening and his voice got fainter. But praise the Lord, when we pray, his voice can become strong again. And I sense that's what God's going to be doing today. He's going to be reawakening the voice of the Spirit. Now, this is very practical. Because to me, I'm conscious of two voices within me. I'm not schizophrenic because I know which one's in charge. But I'm conscious of two voices. There's the voice of my soul that really doesn't want to take me anywhere that's not self-gratification or self-benefiting. Listen, one of the ways you recognize the voice of the Spirit is it always costs you. Or always wants you to do something that you didn't want to do. Or it's always something that you don't feel comfortable with. You're in a room and you're looking at a person, you're like, yeah, you didn't even do. And the Holy Spirit says, yeah, go and forgive them. You're following your soul. But if you responded, okay, Lord, this is going to be tough. Give me the ability. I don't want unforgiveness in my life. And you went and do it. You would open up a new liberty in your life. But can you see how much it's down to our choice of who we're going to follow? Those who are led by the Spirit are children of God. We've got to be in this generation of people that are led by the Spirit. That doesn't mean, hey, I'm led by the Spirit. Watch me wave my flag on Sunday morning and I'll show you how led by the Spirit I am. No, I don't want to know about that. I want to know how you're treating your wife and your kids and how you're conducting your life when no one's looking. That will demonstrate to me the flow of the Spirit in your life. Because the things of the Spirit are not just charisma, they're also character. That all of the attributes of the character of Christ should be increasing in the manifestation of his life in us as we walk with him. Again, we're not struggling or straining. We're just yielding. Okay, so we've got a choice. Am I going to be led by the Spirit? If you're led by the Spirit, that means that the Spirit is in the driving seat of your car and he's going to take you places you've never been before because your soul only knows where you've been before. It hasn't got any new destinations in its GPS. I love going off-road with the Lord. This morning and last night, I decided to go off-road. I was sitting there with a really good message. I don't even get a chance to share it at this rate. But I felt the Holy Spirit say, no, Andy. I mean, when I heard last night we had 30 Teen Challenge guys in, I said, Lord, and I felt the Holy Spirit saying, you better preach the gospel at them. You better. All right. But I had a choice. I could say, no, my message, I took time writing that in the United Kingdom. Soul. The voice of the Spirit, just cut loose, open the Bible, preach me. If you finish earlier than what you thought, get the band back up. Come on, there's no drama. No one's going to die. Trust me. Oh, as we begin to follow more than we have the voice of the Spirit. Yeah. It's like, come on, that's for guys. When something comes on TV, your soul will say, leave it on. Your spirit will say, shut it down. Whichever one you choose to follow will bring you into the expression of the next chapter of your life. I walk through liquor stores now, and alcohol was a big pull on my life. And I walk through and I still hear, especially when I'm tired, I can still hear that grubby old voice of the soul, just one drink. But then I hear the voice of the Spirit, Andy, you've done that journey. You know that one leads to two and two leads to five and five leads to 10 and 10 leads to you being on your face saying, I'll do it again. All right, Holy Spirit, let's just go your way. This is going to be... And I don't lose my dignity. I don't go into a cycle of repair, but I walk in victory as an overcomer. But I wasn't in a meeting where anyone prayed for me. It was in my daily devotional life, my daily time. Come on, let's pick on some other subjects. Morality is a good one where you can hear the voice of the Spirit and the voice of the soul. Now, let me just say, your soul's not the bad boy. Your soul is something that God gave you. If he didn't want it in you, it would have died when you were reborn. But the soul in control of itself is the dangerous factor. Your soul must be brought under the authority of the Spirit now in your life. And this is where some Christians just never get it. You have to do it. You have to say, soul, you're getting under the authority of a new influence, the voice of God. Soul, what the Spirit tells you to do, you do it. I don't care. You stop whining. You get on with it now. Because if you don't, your life will continue. You'll just sing songs and smile on Sunday. That's not what Jesus died on a cross for you. He wanted you standing on the mountaintops of your life like this. An overcomer. But unless you change the driver, you're just going to carry on going where you're going. Isn't this a good gospel? God included everything to leave us in victory, pure and holy, able to ascend the hill of the Lord, experiencing more of his glory. I better read a verse of the Bible, otherwise Derek will mock me and say to me for weeks, you didn't read the Bible. He will, because I always do that to him. Because he doesn't. Now, listen to this. I'm going to read just from 2 Corinthians 3. Because we're speaking of transformation. The transformation comes from the life of the Spirit now in us. And we, with unveiled faces, now reflect the Lord's glory. Come on, we're to reflect the glory of God. When our lives reflect the glory of God, that's the manifestation of his kingdom. Do you know, I'm kind of done standing in the world judging people for their sin. I think I want to invest my life manifesting the kingdom of God in their world so they look at my life and say, whatever you've got, I want it. What do I need to do? Because if we don't do that, we're left on soapboxes saying, this is what's wrong, that's sin, you're going to hell. Jesus never came to condemn, he came to save. Yeah. And Jesus said, the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is among you. If only we as Christians would begin to allow that kingdom life to reflect from us, suddenly the people in the world were saying, I've watched you, whatever you've got, I want what you've got. We won't be dragging them to churches, convincing them we've got something that we haven't really got. How do we get kingdom life flowing from us? We abide in the vine. And without us realizing, his nature's increasing and producing, and it's attractive and reflecting the glory of God. All right, where are we here? And we all with unveiled face all reflect the Lord's glory. We're called to reflect his glory. Isn't that awesome? We're called to reflect the glory of the Lord, not the manifestation of the soul. We're being transformed into his likeness. That's because his nature is finding expression in us daily. We weren't just restored to his image, we've been restored to his likeness. We're being restored to his likeness. That's his character ever growing and flowing through us. which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. All right, let's bring this in for a landing now. We're born again. We've passed through death. We've danced on our grave because we've realized that's not me anymore. We've been resurrected to newness of life. We've come and welcomed the Holy Spirit to come and live now in a temple that's been made holy. You're twice holy. You're a holy temple and you have a Holy Spirit. I don't know how much more holy you can get. You just need to face facts and begin to live out of the good of what God's done. The communication of your faith is effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing that's in you in Christ Jesus. Philemon 6. When you acknowledge what's been done, you live out of what's been done. But your soul is not this wicked kind of Lord of the Rings character in your world, like Gollum, like, we don't like that, does we? I know it probably sounds like some of your souls, but it's not you. We want to forgive that person. We don't do that, does we? Sort that thing out. Bring it under authority. Oh, we got to kill it. No, you got to bring it under authority because your soul is a beautiful part of how God made you. But the soul out of control is ugly. But the soul under the authority of the Spirit is beautiful. Isn't that powerful? Because if God wanted your soul removed, he would have done it at new birth and you'd be walking around going, who am I? We'd all be like beige. There'd be no color. No difference. It's like God didn't make one ocean of cod. He's bigger than what you thought. He's a God of creativity. Yeah. You know, if some of you made the rainbow, it would have been grey. He made it of colours you've not comprehended. God loves that. What is it about listening to certain preachers you like? Because the word remains the same. It's the word coming through the soul of who they are that gives it color or expression, right? Listen, the soul under the authority of the Spirit is a powerful thing. But the soul not under the authority of the Spirit, we call that business as usual. Come on, we're led by the Spirit. That's how we're empowered. Now, I can preach messages on 10 principles, how to be a great leader. That ain't going to last long. This will last long if you grasp it. It's like, come on, people say, well, I don't hear the voice of the Spirit. Yeah, you do every time there's an offering. I don't know how easy I can make this for you. Come on, we all do, right? We're going to take a special offering. We're going to bless this person. Come on. I see it. I look out when I take offerings in the church, and every one of us hears a minimum of three voices if we hang around long enough. And the first voice, that's the expensive one. That's the voice of the Spirit. When we cowardly say, how much? Yeah, when the preacher says, just pray about what you should put. Isn't that horrible when they say that? I mean, it's better that they would tell you. But when the preacher says, just pray about what you should give. Actually, you're like, oh, why did you do that to me? Dear Lord, how much should I give? $1,000. And you're like, I wasn't expecting that. And it's almost like we go, anybody else want to chip in? And the Holy Spirit says, $1,000. And then you say, anybody else in your soul says, $89. 89. And you're like, this is more reasonable. God didn't ask you to be reasonable. He asked you to walk by faith. If he's asking you to give 1,000, it's because he's got a harvest ahead of you and he's preparing you for it. You've got to walk by faith. The funny thing is when people go, 89, anybody else? Yeah, you better believe there's someone else. He's called the devil. He'll say 23 cents. Come on, in every decision of our life, we know that there's more than one voice. Our courage to follow the voice of the Spirit will determine our life going to a new orbit and us looking back on things that have held us, able to go, MC Hammer, then, can't touch this. Can't touch this. Can't touch this. Can't touch this. But if there's nothing different in you than what there was before, you are kidding yourself. But you need to know there is something different. Not only has he saved you through new birth, raised you to newness of life, but when you asked the Holy Spirit to come, he came because, like salvation, he's a gift, unearned, untraded. He was waiting for the invitation. But how frustrating for the Holy Spirit when he arrives and no one listens to him. And we just keep going through the same old circles we always went through. Change of ingredients today. Listen for his voice again. Did you get something this morning? Anybody ready for a coffee? All right, let me pray. I'm just going to ask the Holy Spirit in you and in me to be louder than he's ever been. Simple prayers. I know you were after some sort of prayer that had been constructed over many generations by monastic monks and all that stuff. Sorry, got none of them. Because God hears an earnest prayer. You know, one of my greatest prayers, we had a rough 6 or 7 years there, me and my wife. And our prayers, it's amazing, when you have a rough season, your prayers get shorter. Do you know the final prayer me and my wife were praying? God, help us. It was genius. And I felt the Lord say, I like it. I like it a lot. Because he got rid of all the fluff. God, help. He says, yeah, I'll help. Because I'm a very present help in time of need. When we pray simple prayers out of relationship with the one who saved us and redeemed us, he hears our prayers. You know, tomorrow, King's Fire, guys, I'm going to preach just faith again because we got to understand God hears us. I hear people replacing their prayers every day because they don't get the point of he's heard. When you've prayed, you've got to know you heard and you enter into thanksgiving knowing that he's going to do what he said he would because he's God. So I'm going to preach faith tomorrow. We're going to have a good time in the house of God. All right, you ready for the Holy Spirit to touch your ears, the ears of the hidden man today? Now, from this point, I don't want you ignoring him when he speaks. You say, you cheeky thing, you're going to take an offering. No, I'm not taking offering. That's just you. That's terrible. You would think I was going to do that. That's tonight. Come on, this is about your life. When we pray this prayer, he may ask you to contact someone. When we pray this prayer, he may ask you to walk away from something. Because he's going by what you confessed before, that you want the new life in Christ. Your ears are going to be open. You're going to hear it again. We had a move of the Spirit 3 years ago. And in 1 second of being in his glory, every lie, defense, thing that we'd set up to justify things was gone. Gone. When you ascend the hill of the Lord and come into the glory of his presence, everything you've spent ages trying to defend is naked in a moment. And you fall on your face and say, Lord, 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 Lord. That's the glory of God I want, not some simulated glory from 1,000 people in a room singing the same song. Presence. Oh, that's my next message. We'll come back. We might get there. All right. Ever so simply, just pray after me if you want this. If you don't want this, please don't pray this prayer. But if you're ready for the voice of the Spirit to be louder, if you're ready for your soul to come under the leadership of the Spirit in your life so that you can take hold of the overcoming life he promised for you, then just pray this prayer and the Lord will begin a good work that he'll be faithful to complete. Are you ready? Father, thank you for your truth that sets me free. Thank you that I've died, I've been buried, and I've been risen to newness of life. You haven't left me as an orphan, weak and unable, but you've come and made home with me. Your Holy Spirit now lives in the life you made holy. Forgive me when I kept being led by my soul as if nothing happened. Today, I acknowledge something did happen, and I remove the soul of who I am from the seat of management, and I welcome your Holy Spirit to make that his throne. Soul, come under the authority of the Spirit. Do what he says. Holy Spirit, drive this car where you intended for it to go. Thank you that you are the nature of God. Flow through my branches and produce the fruit that remains and gives you glory. My life is yours. I'm possessed by God. I'm empowered to live a new life. Today, Lord, let my ears be open to the leading of your Spirit from deep within. Amen. Amen. Come on, let's give God some praise.